Hey gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio. It's the dark and secluded room of free speech. Because if it's dark and secluded, you can say whatever you want. Nobody will hear you. But if you give money to RBN, then I can sit in a dark and secluded room and I can speak freely and people will hear me. And if I can do it, then anybody can do it. So send badly needed shekels to RBN at 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Phone it in. You can phone it in to 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. We have Mike and Julie, and we used to have Sam, but I don't think we have Sam anymore. But they are standing by, and they will take your money with gladness. Okay, we've got with us today Paul Stevenson. Paul, welcome to the show.
Great to be with you, Patrick. As always, we haven't done anything for a little while.
Yeah, I've been on a white boy summer road trip, and things get kind of hectic, and so I've been doing a lot of boomer visions. I did get – earlier this week, I had a boomer vision where I just – talked about hitchhiking and getting picked up by a bunch of gay people. And so I think I'm kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel for the boomer visions. But and lots of cicadas, lots of cicadas. But anyway, sure. Good to have you.
Thank you.
So the cicadas, some people might think they're invading. No, they belong here. They belong here. There's no invasion of cicadas. They completely belong here. But not everybody belongs here. Who doesn't belong here, Paul?
Well, most of the population.
it's getting...
Well, that is, you know, that's only a slight hyperbole. We do have the main cities in the UK, London, Birmingham, and Manchester, and I officially are people who describe themselves as white British are a minority. And the country at large, we're still a majority, but if at the current trends and at the rates that these people that we import have children, and at the rates that we don't have children, then it doesn't take a genius to work out what's going to happen.
Well, I was...
And it's even worse than that as well.
Okay, well, why don't we start off? You have an article that you were going to report about.
Yeah, sorry, what were you going to say? I didn't mean to interrupt you. You're going to say I was
watching. I'll wait until afterwards. I have more additional information.
Okay. So there's the Daily Mail, which, how would you describe it? Anyway, you know what I mean. It's certainly a scumbag newspaper when it comes to the whole Russia thing. But
a massive website, right? Very, very much read.
Oh, absolutely. But they've actually done some good work here. An exclusive story. Lawyers are charging $10,000 to make fake asylum claims. A special investigation exposes staff at immigration law firms briefing clients on how to lie to authorities to win the right to stay in Britain. And then there's a picture here of some guy who looks like, I don't know, he looks like his name is probably Muhammad. Anyway, his name is mentioned here, but he looks like an Arab, but kind of African too. Anyway, lawyers are charging thousands of pounds to submit false asylum and human rights claims for illegal migrants. Okay, so this is no surprise really to any of us who've been fully aware of the perverse incentives that our immigration policies will create and the type of immigration laws that we've signed up to are going to create. Especially, it doesn't surprise me that these are going to be taken advantage of by essentially other migrants or the descendants of migrants, which largely are devoid of the same type of cultural moral norms that your average white lawyer will have in general. I mean, I'm not saying that's the case with every white lawyer or every white, brown person. But I think that is largely the case as well. So it's not a surprise. You know, these people who come here know what to say anyway, but it's people like this who've taught them how to polish it. And if they don't know what to say, they will certainly tell them, because it's a racket. It's a big business for these guys to be making this kind of money on these asylum claims. And of course, as I say, the type of laws that we signed up to, I mean, I really have to laugh sometimes at the progressive left, you know, the usual suspects who support our immigration policy, because, you know, the European Court of Human Rights that we signed up to, of course, just after World War II, Patrick, because I don't know where you're aware of this, but after World War II, there was a particular group of people that were severely persecuted by far-right extremist white supremacists in Germany. Do you know about this whole history? And so there was a bunch of people, a lot of them were burned in ovens, and others had to flee for their lives. And so this legislation came in.
Never heard of that.
Right, okay, well, there you go, you see. So we signed up to this to make sure that it was, you know, none of these poor people, whatever, you know, would lack somewhere to go in these circumstances. And of course, whether they, this particular group of people, meant it for future demographic annihilation of the white Christian countries and culture, it was certainly used that way later, because these progressives, they hate everything that's more than 20 years old, you know. I mean, everything's antiquated and out of date, you know. This is 2023 now, Patrick, don't you know? But they never sit back and think, hold on a second, were these post-World War II, were these laws and this legislation that we signed up to, is it still relevant today? Do we have people burning in ovens today, like we did after World War II, and fleeing for their lives? So, you know, we're still signing up to this nonsense because of the persecution of Jews after World War II, largely. And now it just applies to basically everybody in the global South, really. And so we sign up to these things. My opinion is, regardless of even if there is public outrage by the left, is the European Court of Human Rights should be ignored. And then you deal with that afterwards. Because the consequences demographically to our identity, economically, everything, are a huge disaster anyway. So if you cared about the country and you measured this, the actual substance, identity, culture, the race, religion, everything, language, up against, oh, what are the European Court of Human Rights, some anonymous barristers or judges, what are they going to do, Patrick? You know, what could they do that would be worse? So this is a whole facade by the Conservative government. Any right-minded government that cared a hoot about their nation would ignore them and then deal with whatever consequences, which should be none anyway. There's nothing they can do. They might try and make a lot of noise and bluster, but if Putin has proven anything, it's the West is basically, with all its bullying and finger wagging, is essentially, you know, the Wizard of Oz. You pull back that curtain and that big scary monster is just this little weasel, this little wimpy guy in there, you know?
Well, I did see that movie, and yeah, there, things aren't always what they appear to be. Things certainly aren't what people think they are. What I was going to bring up, which is related to all this, is we have in the United States a congressman from Florida named Matt Gaetz, who there aren't very many congressmen who have anything to offer. He has a little bit to offer, and he is going to, or he is introducing into the House of Representatives, a bill aimed at eliminating birthright citizenship for illegal immigrants. So the I'm not exactly sure when birthright citizenship for illegal immigrants actually started, but the so-called legal basis for it is in the 14th Amendment to the Constitution. So let's see. I read it on my show, which is about to air in about 2 hours. We're recording this show. And I just want to make sure I get it right. Where the heck is this? Where is the language? Jeepers creepers. It was here just a second ago. Hold on. I'll probably edit this part out. But jeepers, just give me the daggone language. I don't want all this. What the hell? I'm sorry. This is getting me annoyed. Just give me the language. I don't want a whole explanation. I just want the language. All right. All persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and the state wherein they reside. Okay. So born or naturalized. Well, what we're looking at here is born. So all persons born in the United States, and then there's this other clause, and subject to the jurisdiction thereof, are citizens of the United States. So the key here is, what does it mean, and subject to the jurisdiction thereof? And of course, there was a very lengthy congressional debate on this in this was ratified in 1868. I guess it was proposed maybe in 65. So you'd have a debate on it, maybe 65, 66, something like that. 150 years ago, a little over 150 years ago. So what did it mean? Well, it specifically didn't apply to American Indians because their relations with the federal government were via treaties. They weren't subject to the jurisdiction thereof. Now, there were people who were arguing against the 14th Amendment, saying, well, no, this would make the Indians into citizens. Now, the Indians eventually became citizens in the 1920s, but that was through separate legislation. And there was talk about, well, what about the children of diplomats? Well, no, they're not subject to the United States. So the question then is going to become, if somebody sneaks in to the country, they come in illegally, they're here illegally, are they subject to the jurisdiction of the United States? If you're a fugitive and you're avoiding justice, are you subject to the jurisdiction of the United States? And then, of course, we've got people who come here and do avoid contact with the police, but you have other people who commonly come here, walk across the border, and then turn themselves in immediately. Now, if they've turned themselves in already and they've got a court date in 8 years for an asylum case, and you know they're being coached by some Jewish lawyer or some Jewish funded lawyer on what to say, are they subject to the jurisdiction of the United States? So the whole thing is convoluted, but should the essence and the character of the American population, of the population of the country, be subject to technicalities of the words that were written 156 years ago, which had completely different intention? And, you know, I'm not saying ignore the Constitution. And you can certainly make a case that the Constitution, that the 14th Amendment should not grant citizenship to the children of illegal aliens. You can make that. But, you know, we're at the point, I was looking at the Wikipedia article on this, and even Wikipedia was saying that 15 years ago, 7% of the children born in the United States were born to illegal aliens, not just to foreigners, but to illegal aliens, 7%. And that number would have to be much higher now. So you're having a very significant share of the children born in the United States are born to illegal aliens. And the way things have worked over the past several decades is Well, the child, the baby, is an American citizen. How can you deport the parents if they've got an American child?
That, well, obviously that law needs to change. It'll actually be a deterrent. You see, everything we do, I talked about that story. You have Suella Braverman over here, another essentially, I think she's a second or third generation immigrant. I'm not exactly sure where she's from, but you had Priti Patel before that, another brown woman.
You said Braverman?
Suella Braverman. She's another, to my mind, you know, they bring in these brown women and,
Is she in the cabinet? Was she one of these?
Yes.
She's
the home secretary, so she's responsible for immigration and that type of thing.
She's homely and she's got a big nose and kind of dumpy.
Yeah, and like Priti Patel, they try to make a lot of noise that they really want to get on top of things, and the whole thing is just theater. Because they meanwhile saying they're going to stop the boats coming over, the illegal boats. And they say all the right things, and if people aren't watching, then they do the opposite. It's really interesting because one of the things they did recently, and this was part of, I mean, they always turn everything to their advantage. They call it the illegal immigration bill. You know, so it's a bill that the House of Commons or the House of the Parliament tried to push through, which would stop these boats coming through. And then, of course, it has to go through the House of Lords, which I think should be abolished. These are basically, elderly, white, liberal people who live in 12-bedroom mansions, may or may not have some connection to aristocracy, have probably been in the government at one point. They get a peerage for the House of Lords, and the House of Lords is about as far left as you can get, who tried to obstruct us. And one of the things that came from both the House of Lords, I believe, but also from, in quotes, left-wing conservatives, was a concession, which was basically to allow these people, when they get here, not only while they're being processed to stay in hotels and at the cost of the taxpayer and everything else, but they can get legal aid so that, so they can prevent any attempts to deport them. So they, so they can get a free legal aid, legal representation to fight their case as to why they're here and why they should stay here and why they shouldn't be deported at the cost of the British taxpayer again. So this was a concession. But this is a massive attraction because, they know that not only when they get here that they're likely to stay here and get looked after in the meantime, but they can now get legal aid from these type of crooked solicitors. And by the way, the outcry once the story came out is that these solicitors should be stroked off. They should never be allowed to practice again. What about going to prison, Patrick? This is criminal. There's no mention of criminality. You had the NatWest boss, Alison Rose, who's basically the CEO of the NatWest group, resigned because Coutts, which is a part of the NatWest group, closed down Nigel Farage's bank account, the stupid morons. Imagine picking Nigel Farage. Anyway, Farage...
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying other low-quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. But I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Coutts, which is a part of the NatWest group, closed down Nigel Farage's bank account, the stupid morons. Imagine picking Nigel Farage. Anyway, Farage has pushed back, and they've all been exposed. This woman has resigned, because part of what she did was also to give Nigel Farage's details to, you know, banking details, which is against the law under the Data Protection Act, to the BBC. But, you know, she's resigned. She's been forced to resign, but that's a criminal act as well. Why do these people never get prison, you know? Anyway, at least what she's done, or at least what Farage has done, I mean, I couldn't believe these people were so stupid and so full of hubris that they would go after someone like Farage. But this has blown open a massive can of worms. People are coming out of the woodwork, left, right, and center, Senate. It's like the Me Too movement. So this is good news, because these people are persecuting people, and the irony is that they're always impervious to you, is that Farage apparently didn't fit in with their values and their spirit of inclusivity. Well, Farage represents about 52% of the population on the Brexit deal, so they're not very inclusive, Patrick. You know, they don't include about half of the British population who love Farage.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, so getting back to the illegal immigrants, there was one other article I wanted to bring up. And where does this come from? This comes from the Washington Post, of all places. It says, federal judge tosses Biden administration asylum rule for migrants. When I saw this headline, I thought, oh, okay, you know, there are these judges. Like, Biden is just trying to completely open up the border, flood the country. It's so transparently obvious. Just flood the country with as many people as possible, weaponize them against the white native population. And so I saw this and I thought, okay, well, I mean, there's a little bit of pushback here and there. No, this wasn't even pushback. This was an Obama appointed judge. And A federal judge in California on Tuesday struck down the Biden administration's temporary restrictions on migrants seeking asylum, ruling that the government's plan to reduce illegal crossings on the U.S.-Mexican border violated federal law. Okay. U.S. District Judge John S. Tigar, now T-I-G-A-R, I don't know what kind of name that is, but the John is spelled without an H. It's not the English way of spelling it. It's more the Hebrew way of spelling it. So I don't know. But ruled against a system that the Biden administration imposed more than 2 months ago that penalizes migrants who cross the border illegally and rewards those who instead schedule appointments to seek their asylum. Oh, you don't want to penalize anybody who crosses the border illegally. That's against the law. This is what the judge says. So the judge,
the judge said not to be penalizing people who cross the border illegally.
Yeah, you can't penalize people who cross the border illegally.
This is where they're at. I mean, you know, Henry Ford spoke about this, and this is what you're dealing with. You see, you're dealing with, you know, audacity on levels that it's just unprecedented. It's the same here in Europe. And unfortunately for Europe and for your country as well, people have, you know, have taken too long to wake up to the fact that this audacity has taken place, because it's so counterintuitive. It's a form of gaslighting, and it's so foreign to people, you know, in a way that people, I think, are kind of in shock by it, and they sort of absorb it, you know, to weaker minds or the more passive minds. And we're suffering the same thing here. That it's not just that Jewish groups have organized themselves to basically subvert our culture into its base, you know, into annihilation. It's that our populations have allowed it. That they have, you know, on one hand, they've had their hands tied behind their back, but on the other hand, they've sat back. They've been too passive about all of this stuff. They haven't been outraged by it in any way. They just get on with things. It's particularly bad with English people. But, you know, the same thing is true of the Irish. What happened to the Fighting Irish? What happened to the Europeans? You know, we've allowed it to happen. And it's a serious thing. I mean, it'll probably be looked back in history if our cultures and our national, you know, our native population survived this nightmare. It'll be looked back in history with absolute scorn and contempt at this generation, because this generation is a total aberration. We have allowed our identities, which is no small thing, our cultures, our race, our religion, our language, to be to the point of almost being eradicated. And, you know, and to some extent, and no small extent, we've had our hands tied behind our backs in more recent years to prevent us from asserting and affirming our identities. Meanwhile, ironically, again, we live in a culture which is obsessed with identity. You know, every other identity, whether it's Islam, homosexuality, transgender, you know, identification itself has become an obsession. It's become like a deity. But we've had this foisted upon us and mercilessly rammed down our throats. Meanwhile,
you are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Antelope Hill Publishing is America's leading publisher of dissident books, bringing you a wide variety of new translations and original works on every subject, from the funding behind the transgender movement to firsthand memoirs of World War II previously inaccessible to English-speaking audiences. We publish books that mainstream publishers won't touch, full of information that challenges the political status quo. Whether you count yourself as a political dissident, student of history, connoisseur of philosophy, or enthusiast of exciting and thought-provoking fiction, you owe it to yourself to check out our catalog. With exclusive offerings like the transgender industrial complex, Solzhenitsyn and the right, the open society playbook, opioids for the masses, and many more. There's something for everyone, and new titles are added every month. Check out our catalog today at antelopehillpublishing.com and use code RBN Readers 2023 for 10% off your order. That's RBN Readers 2023 at antelopehillpublishing.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Everyone around me seems to get sick but me. My brother got the flu twice. My mother was down with some sort of fever. People at work were taking sick days off, and others were just plain tired and run down. And me? Well, I just keep feeling great all the time with Extendovite. My grandfather used to talk about the power of garlic and other herbs he took that kept him healthy. I'm lucky. Extendovite was just what I needed to keep me healthy, and Extendovite is all natural. Extendovite was designed for the heart but does so much more by keeping me healthy all the time. I'll take Extendovite forever. Get your 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. My name is Rick, and you can be like me just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Sexuality, transgender, you know, identification itself has become an obsession. It's become like a deity. And we've had this foisted upon us and mercilessly rammed down our throats. Meanwhile, we can't affirm our identity for 5 seconds. You know, and behind the curtain, you have one group above all others who is absolutely sure about their identity and their intention and agenda of subjugating everybody, particularly the white Christian Western nations.
So in the United States, you are allowed, if you're a white person, you are allowed to assert your identity as long as the identity you're asserting isn't white. So you can
exactly.
You can assert your identity. Like in the United States, you could belong to an Irish American club. I've seen one. It's in a rundown building with an empty swimming pool.
Probably nobody in it anymore.
There's hardly anybody in it, but you could join that. I've been to a German club once, and you know, once a year they have some sort of Oktoberfest with beer and lederhosen. I've seen a Slovakian credit union, something like that. So,
look, Patrick, where I live, it's like, you know, I go into the local shops to go and to buy some sausages or something. I can't get them. There's Polish sausages and Polish butter and Polish bread and Lithuanian butter. And, you know, I can't buy bacon and the sort of sausages I'd like to eat. I have to go to a bigger store up there where they actually cater for English people and British people too, you know. at least they keep us in mind. At least there are some places we can shop. But all the local shops are around here, because the demographics have changed so much. You basically get a bunch of brown people who own the shops, Sikhs, Muslims, Indians, importing loads of products from Eastern Europe to sell to Eastern Europe, you know, to the Eastern Europeans, mostly, mainly Polish, but an increasingly amount of Ukrainians, obviously. And I've noticed a hell of a lot more Chinese people around here recently for some reason. Must be this Hong Kong thing that we started a revolution over, a color revolution over there, didn't we? And then we flood them in here as well. So sorry to interrupt you, Patrick.
No, that's all right. And the thing is, the thing with the Chinese people is there's an awful lot of them. So, for instance, the United States, we've had, what is it, 20% of the population of Mexico moved to the United States. And in the process, Hispanics became the number one minority in the United States. I often talk about Australia being close to China, and they're worried about China. If you had not 20%, but if you had 2% of the Chinese population move to Australia, they would just become the majority population. It would become a Chinese country, and I like the Chinese people. I'm fine with the Chinese. I'm down with them. I'm allowed to say chink because I'm cool with them, but there are an awful lot.
I'm down with any population as long as they stay in their own in their own you know, neck of the woods. You know, stay in your lane. You know,
they've got a very big country, and the country is much nicer to live in than it used to. And honestly, I don't know why a Chinese person would want to leave China these days. Things have gotten a lot better there. I'm hoping
that the progress and improvements in India might result in some of these Indians going back. You know, we've got a hell of a lot of Indians here in this country, and India is probably, I think it'll be in the top two of most racist countries in the world. Not sure why exactly, but you know, they all stand back and see English people or like natives have the finger pointed at them as being called racist, and they stay quiet. But there's a lot of things you can't do if you're a foreigner in India, which would be, you know, absolutely outrageous in this country if you were to suggest such a thing as you can't start a business or you can't have a driver's license or some of the you know, stuff that goes on in India. I mean, you know, again, the double standard, you know. I mean, there's certain parts of India where it won't be tolerated that a foreigner will live in the same street, you know. Anyway, I digress.
Well, and so one of the things is, in the United States, in Britain, in other countries, we tend to look at, okay, well, what is the percentage of foreigners? What is the percentage of, say, brown people? What's the percentage of the indigenous or founding populations? But the thing is, if you look at that number, you're actually getting a rosy view, because the let's just say you're talking about Britain and you want to say, oh well, Britain's still 82% white. Okay, well, how white is it in the age bracket of late teens to mid 30s, the people who are actually having babies? It's a lot less white. What is the
of course.
Right. I mean, like, okay, United States is still 60% white, but the maternity rooms, I mean, the mothers in the maternity rooms are majority non-white. And even I don't know how many, because it's hard to get data on this, but even the white women having babies in the maternity room are often having them with black men and out of wedlock.
Yeah, of course. And, you know, this is the most desirable group because they're neither black nor white. Now, you kill two birds with one stone here because you get rid of whitey. And really, they would like to get rid of a lot of the blacks, too, because they don't need that many blacks to destroy white people. You know, and they know there's a few reserves, apparently, in Africa. Apparently, there's a lot of Africans in Africa. So I remember the reason I say that is because I remember on Facebook a few years ago, I was saying about, you know, this race mixing in countries which are exclusively white dominant is a real threat to the existence of the white race, because these are areas which are exclusively white dominant, and we are already a minority in the global population. If you start mixing them, we're going to end up completely outnumbered. And he said, well, what about black people? If you're going to have mixed race people, how come you're only focusing on the white people? The black people are going to end up mixed race too, and they're going to become diminished. And I'm like, yeah, there's a few reserves in Africa, you know?
Yeah. Hey, okay. Speaking to that, so this black guy walks into a bar with a parrot on his shoulder, and the bartender looks up and he says, "Where the hell did you get that thing?" And the parrot says, "In Africa, there's millions of them there."
Yeah, exactly. But you know, I don't have a problem with black people, really. You know, they are weaponized. I obviously would prefer if they weren't here in this kind of numbers they're here, because they drive up crime, and they have a fetish for white women. And sadly, some white women have a fetish for black men as well. But this is kind of human nature to some extent. What's seen as exotic, it's usually perpetrated by women, but black men take full advantage of it. But you're right. There's, you know, the mixed race group are ideal, because you're diluting the white race, and you're creating something which doesn't really have an identity. You know, I mean, could you imagine? You're born in London. Where's your? And this is a phenomenon I see here a lot. Black and Indian and brown men are taking advantage of a lot of the Eastern European women. Eastern European women are white, blonde hair, blue eyes a lot of the time, and pretty but skint. And they've no money. They come from these shithole countries, in the ex-communist countries, and they come over here and they don't have any kind of the type of people that usually sort of voluntarily come here as well. They're the type of people who are looking for money, and if they're from Ukraine, they believe in all our, you know, leftist values. So I suppose getting with a black or an Indian guy is kind of cool to them, you know. And so, you know, but if you're the child and your father's originally from Kenya and your mother's from Ukraine or Lithuania, and you're neither white nor black or whatever, and you're born in London, you know, that's someone with not really much of an identity, in my opinion, you know? I mean, it's a seriously diluted identity. They're not born in Ukraine or Eastern Europe. They're not born in Africa. And genetically, they're a hybrid. And that's exactly the type of people they want, because they're not going to be causing any kind of identity uprising.
Okay, so when I was looking at the 14th Amendment today, earlier today, I started looking at various aspects of American citizenship law. And of course, it's been changing. There's been all these changes over the years, and there are a lot of changes in immigration and naturalization citizenship. There are a lot of changes in the 1920s. So in the early, there had been, after all of the radicalism in the first couple decades of the 20th century, you know, you had a radical assassinate President William McKinley. I know Theodore Roosevelt got shot in the chest, but it didn't kill him. He had a very long speech in his pocket, and I guess it got stopped by the heavy papers or something, or maybe his cigar box or something. I don't know what it was, but
apparently it was the actual speech. It was a 40-page speech or something that he was going to give out, and it was in his chest pocket, and the whole thing probably could have been staged for all you know.
Who knows? But I don't know. He was a rambunctious character, but at any rate, you had a lot of radicalism, and after World War I, the nativists just got sick of it, and they changed they had a restrictive immigration law, the Johnson Hawley Act, something like that, and that's well known. But and of course there was the Asian Exclusion Act, which was the same year, 1924, a couple of other acts, and I was looking into them, and the Asian Exclusion Act, it excluded Asians from immigration and naturalization, but also if you were a man and you had an Asian wife, well, then your kids could receive citizenship. If you were an American woman and you married an Asian man, you lost your citizenship, and if you left the country, you weren't coming back. And you know, that might seem harsh. I'm not like proposing that necessarily, but it's not, I mean, it's not necessarily that unusual. I know, like, Japan, it wasn't until the 1980s that Japanese women could pass on citizenship to their children if the father was not a citizen. And there were case, unless the father was unknown, if the father is unknown, then the mother could pass on Japanese citizenship. And so sometimes a woman married to, say, a Korean man would just say, oh, I don't know who the father is, in order to get Japanese citizenship. But here's the thing about, like, there is a difference between women and men, and I think it's evolutionary. I think it's evolutionary. Because if you look...
I don't.
I'll say what I think, and you can say whatever you think. But if you look historically, when there historically and historically, there have been big migrations of people. There have been big conquests of people. And, you know, look at, here's a historical one. The Spanish and Portuguese, let's just say the Spanish conquest of much of South and Central America. So what happened? The conquistadors came over. They, in many cases, took Indian wives or women and had babies with them. The native men didn't fare so well. Maybe there were some women left over for them, but they lost out largely. And if you look at the mestizo populations of these countries today, and you know, you look at their genetics, the Y chromosome is overwhelmingly European, which indicates that men lost access to women. And so the thing is, when you have conquest, when you have migration is usually in some sort of unequal relationship between these two groups. One group loses out. The men lose out. The men are likely to lose access to women. The men very well may lose access to their lives, right? They just get wiped out. Women don't produce. Women are going to reproduce. And so I think men genetically have a tendency to be more xenophobic. And with good reason.
Yeah. I mean, that argument, and I mean, it's a side issue for been interested in another show, I guess. But, you know, that argument and other arguments have been made as, you know, with the evolutionary explanation. I don't think it requires necessarily an evolutionary explanation. But then I'm a consistent Christian in terms of my beliefs. You know, I as a Christian, I you know, you get a lot of people who say, oh, I'm a Christian, and then they take the scriptures. And these people really irritate me. This is why I don't hang out with a lot of Christians, even though maybe I should, because they're so inconsistent, because they say they believe the Bible, and then they don't believe that God actually created Adam and Eve, which I do. And that probably sounds absolutely absurd in our current, you know, wise generations that we live in, and to have discarded beliefs that decades and centuries of people have believed. You know, our generation is way more intelligent than anything that's gone before, obviously. So, really? You know, I'm being somewhat facetious here. But I usually aim that at people, not people who believe in evolution, but at people who believe that, you know, gay marriage is cool and the transgender is cool. There has been no society, and most societies and cultures today, geographically around the globe, believe that marriage is anything other than a union between man and women. And white nations, historically, up until last Tuesday, no one believed that either. But now these are the dominant beliefs, and if you don't believe them, well, you can get your bank account removed, or lose your job, or worse, thrown in prison. No culture that I know of ever questioned the whole gender thing. I think there might have been some of that nonsense went on under the Bolsheviks, which we shouldn't be surprised, because it's the same Bolsheviks which now run the West. But anyway, I struggle with my faith because of, you know, if I attribute a lot of these things to ultimately the Lord, that means I have to then sort of reconcile the fact that he created women in this very disloyal way and undesirable way, because women are like that. They are fickle. I know a story of a girl who was apparently a Ukrainian. She was quite racist, apparently, you know. She came over here. She sent a friend a picture to someone I know who's from Ukraine. She sent a picture to her showing how in love she was with her new English boyfriend, except her English boyfriend looked very Indian.
Okay. Okay, first of all, I'm not trying to de-Christianize anybody. And
no, I know. And you know, listen, I'm not trying to, I don't try and Christianize anybody either.
I have a follow-up to that statement. And
the secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Syrah grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol. Fermentation breaks these organic compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form. Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email proudsouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Christianize anybody. And
I'm not trying to, I don't try and Christianize anybody either.
I have a follow-up to that statement. And also, I gave an evolutionary explanation for women's behavior. There are cultural explanations you could give too. Either, you could say women tend to be more they want to go with the trend, and so they're easily manipulated and all this stuff. But just getting back to the evolutionary thing. Okay, let's say that Adam and Eve were created by God, and they are the ultimate ancestors of us, okay? And so they, 1,000 years ago or whatever, they're on the scene. Okay, now let's just say that sometime thousands of years later, you had a whole bunch of tall people, and they started having babies with each other. would they get tossed? Like, okay, if they're the first two people, you do
By
have...
By the way, Patrick, let me interject a little bit, because just hold that thought. This, you know, this serpent character, he waited till Adam was out of the way, and then he went to Eve. And then we find out that God created a cuck in Adam.
Uh-huh.
Because he basically said, well, it's not my fault, it's this woman you give me. So, you know, he couldn't keep her under check. He didn't want to lose the woman, so he wouldn't take responsibility. Anyway, sorry to interrupt you.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, the thing is, you see also, even if you want to say that God created Adam and Eve and the animals and whatnot, you do see, yeah, let's say, breeding in dogs and breeds that have been created recently. So that doesn't prove Adam and Eve weren't created by God, but it's common knowledge that traits can get inherited from one generation to another, and that's basically what I'm saying. So we're almost out of time. Yeah. You have your final thoughts, and then we'll wrap it up.
Well, the final thoughts is we've got to take a stand for our identities, Patrick, because, as I say, you know, there's a very dark irony going on. You know, every other identity is promoted, protected, and celebrated, and ours is as white, Christian, particularly, and male, is just mercilessly just being hammered and annihilated. So we got to start, you know, just start affirming our identities as much as we can while we still have them left to affirm, you know.
Yeah, and I will say, I never thought about my identity. I never cared about it. It's not something that I have a long history in. But intellectually, I realized exactly what you're saying, and so I care about it now. Not because of I was raised that way, not because of emotional reasons, but because intellectually I understand what you're saying is correct, and we do have to start caring about our identity. All righty. Well, thank you for joining me.
It's always a pleasure, Patrick. I really enjoyed talking to you.
All right, Paul. And when is your show?
Saturday. I might try and get E. Michael Jones on. I don't know. Maybe I should prepare a little bit more. I've been busy because there's a few questions. I want to talk to him about Zelensky and the Orthodox Church and that type of thing, and the shenanigans going on out there. But maybe I'll leave Mike Jones for the following week, and I'll just do some callers this week, you know.
Okay. And I'll be back again next time with another exciting episode of National People Radio.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details, or visit 3DBunkers.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.